podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Jeff has made a life of being himself, and look what it's got him. He's on a TV show at 12:30. You know what they used to put? Beep at that time.
Jeff Lutz.
Here's why I've gone vegan. It's not really like the milk or the eggs themselves. It's what milk and eggs are put into.
If you ask me, that stuff rots your brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello, everyone. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz here to co-host Max Power, producing and engineering, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. I haven't been on this show in a while. It feels like forever.
Who did Friday? What was going on Friday?
We had a best of Friday.
Well, why did
I had a Royals clinic with the Twins. I don't have... I'll be honest with you, there's not enough time in my day.
Well, then quit. We'll bring somebody else in. And
you know what? I'm done.
No, you can't quit now, but you can quit
after the show. I'm done.
Okay, well,
it's
I quit.
The Jeff Show.
If you quit, I quit. So it's going to be dead air.
I thought you said you'll bring somebody else in.
Not right now, but sure.
Let's get Tony Dusing, our program director.
He'd be absolutely fine
on the show and talk to him about it.
Why?
Because I want to hear what he'd say.
I think
now he'll put the brave face on, and he'll say, "Yeah, well, we can make that." You know what? Though I don't think he would.
Sure, he would.
I think what he would say would be, "I don't see it. I don't think."
You know how many times you've threatened to quit this show, and conversations that I've had with Tony about, we got to go on. I mean, we move on. You're kind of the guy anyway, Jeff.
You can't even talk.
You're kind of the star anyway, Jeff. So. We'll move forward here.
That's, would be an unmitigated disaster.
We haven't been on the show together since Tuesday.
Well, you've been out of town. I've been working. Just a busy time. And what can I say? And let me tell you, folks, August rolls around. This guy's out of here for a while.
Where are you going?
That's all I'm going to say right now.
Okay.
I need a 2 to 3 week period of.
Why do you need that? But
because League 42 has been very challenging for the last 6 months, and I'm going to take some time away. That's why.
How much time do you think I should get away?
Well, what do you do?
What do you do?
You sit at a ballpark. I think that's an error, Harold, and nobody cares.
Why is it always Harold?
In the scheme,
come up with a new name.
In the scheme of the world, nobody cares if it's an error.
So, then why do they have us up there? Why do they have people up there?
They got to turn in a report,
document the game.
But they're, you know, they turn in a report.
Yeah, and we do a heck of a job, and we take it seriously. We have fun, and well, we can do both of those things.
Who's we?
The people up there doing it.
Well, I mean, whatever.
It's not just a score. We got a stringer. We got TrackMan. We got everything. We got a lot going on up there. It's a fun little atmosphere that we've.
I suppose.
We've got pitch clocks. I mean, everything's going on. We had a very vigorous scoring discussion.
Well, I'll get it right out of the
chute. So did we. It was embarrassing.
No, you said you just had a vigorous discussion.
No, because we had it right, but there were other people in the press area. Who?
What was the situation and all this? I'll resolve it for you.
Well, it wasn't. We don't need it to be resolved.
I'll get it figured out.
Okay, but first you have to say that we already got it right.
Yeah, but I'll make sure it's official.
It's already official.
I'll call them.
We've already called them.
What is it?
Runner on first and third.
Runners on first and third. How many out?
One out.
One out.
Yes. Fly ball to right field.
Fly ball to right field.
Runner scores.
Right.
Will score. Ball is cut off by the first baseman.
Oh, I heard about this.
Thrown to the second baseman.
I got it
baseman.
Right immediately.
Who?
Really not even a mystery.
No, it wasn't. But we have people, and the scoring is what?
It's a sacrifice fly because there was not a force out on the play.
Right.
Easy. I mean, yeah, how is that even up for debate?
We had people up in the press box who felt like it was worth a debate.
Who?
And we did debate it. I don't know if I should name names.
No, I want a name.
I don't feel like I should name
Jim
names.
Jim Grubbs.
He was involved in the discussion. Not necessarily going to say what side he took.
Well, he told me.
When did this come up? When you were at the clinic?
He was at the clinic Friday.
Yeah, that was a
Jim
good
Grubbs,
one.
Jim Grubbs, the voice of the Windsurge. Who was the other person?
We had Dave up there. We had
who's Dave? Dave
was the official scorer that night.
How'd he rule it?
Sack fly. We had one person who claimed, based on discussions he had with somebody else, that it would be a sack fly, no RBI, which I've never heard of, and of course is not a thing. And that person, I assume, has been set straight.
Who is that person?
I haven't seen him since.
Oh, easy. That one's easy.
It is easy. I was kind of surprised that it got into that heavy of a discussion because it's a sack fly.
Well, listen, it's good to talk about things.
Always.
I do want to mention Red, White, and Boom coming up this Thursday, 4th of July, on the lawn at the Hyatt. The fireworks, you can go to the Riverfront Stadium for fireworks show that begins at 9:40. Now you can enter the ballpark at 6, hang out, have fun. You'll have the Astronauts performing.
The Astronauts?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's a real thing?
Yes. They used to be called the Dirty Astronauts, I believe, but they shortened their name, and they've been around a long time. We might even work to get somebody from that band on the show.
No baseball game that night.
No baseball game. The Windsurge is out of town. But KFH and Odyssey, a sponsor of this event. So we invite everybody to go to the fireworks show down at Riverfront Stadium.
You going to head out there that night on July 4th?
I am not.
I have to work on July 4th this year.
Good.
It's my year for July 4th.
Good. You'll take care of things. It's Storm Tracker 12.
No, I just work at the news station.
What if there's a major storm? Won't you get involved in that?
Yeah, but I'm not part of Storm Team 12.
So you went to orientation with your daughter at K-State.
Yeah.
And indications are that it was somewhat overwhelming. Is that...
A little bit. A lot of information, a lot of different places that we saw, a lot of different people that were talking, a lot of different activities were presented, a lot of different options were provided and given. We ate, we saw the dorms, we went to the sessions.
Your impressions of K-State?
I think it'll be a great fit.
Wearing a K-State shirt today, I see.
Yeah, I got a new K-State shirt.
Now, are you becoming a K-Stater?
Well, I'm a K-State family.
That's not what I ask. Are you becoming a K-Stater?
What does that define K-Stater? I've never disliked K-State.
Not answering my question. Are you becoming a Kansas State fan?
I feel about K-State the way I've always felt about K-State.
Do you feel any differently about K-State versus Kansas, the University of Kansas?
Not really.
Same thing.
Pretty
even
much,
though you
yeah.
have a daughter at K-State.
Yeah, I like...
Sounds terrible.
I enjoy K-State.
Sounds awful.
I think K-State football is going to be really
good.
Do you
like KU just as much?
No, I like K-State more.
Do you like K-State more than Wichita State?
Not at the moment.
Well, that's just an awful thing to hear.
We'll see how it goes.
That's just a terrible thing to say.
Youngster wants to get the athletic pass and go to the football and men's basketball games.
What's that cost?
$250.
Does she have friends to go with?
Well, she's going to see if her roommate wants to go, but then I assume she's going to make a lot of friends pretty quickly in her K-State career.
Well, we hope so.
I can see it happening.
We hope she goes to the football games.
She'll get involved in activities and clubs and meet people, and it'll be fine.
Any nerves as it pertains to all that with you?
As it pertains to what?
As it pertains to her going off here. What?
Not really.
When does she leave? When does she leave?
August, I believe, 14th is move-in day.
August 14th. That's 6 weeks away.
Yeah, it's 44 days,
yeah,
I believe.
Something like 6 weeks a day.
Yeah.
6 weeks away. So 6 weeks from Thursday.
I believe it's Wednesday.
No, it's Thursday.
Well, I believe she moves in on a Wednesday. That's what I was told, but I thought it was Thursday, too.
I don't really know. 45 days away. It's Thursday, August 14th.
It's Wednesday, but that's all right.
Well, that's not August 14th.
30 days is the end of July, and then 14 more, so it's 44 days away.
Oh. Well, good luck to her. It'll be quite a deal.
Yeah, she'll do great. I have no doubts about her.
I did have doubts.
When
you went away to college, I had big doubts.
But I didn't go away. That's the problem.
That's my first doubt.
As you should have had doubts.
I took you up to K-State. You weren't interested.
That's not necessarily true.
You never showed one interest.
Did I show a lot of interest in Wichita State?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So you could live at home.
I felt as if I needed to go to college.
You felt like you wanted to live at home.
I guess.
Rather than get out there in the big old world.
I'm in the world now.
Think of what you could have done had you been in the big old world earlier.
I never would have finished college.
At K-State?
Never.
Why?
Because I wouldn't have had anyone accountable to go to class.
What if you'd made great friends up there?
Fine. I had great friends here, and I barely pursued a higher education. It's not something I was interested in. But I did it because people sacrificed.
What people?
People. My parents.
Right. You still owe me a ton of money from that.
I feel like you owe me a lot of money.
No, you owe me a lot of money from the college experience.
Well, just take it out of my will account.
No, I will.
Okay, then we're good.
The will has come down greatly.
That's fine.
You'll think fine when you see what I leave Debbie.
Well, I got left nothing already by one parent, so I think it's okay.
What?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing happened.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It is what it is.
Really? Nothing?
Zero.
Well, what happened?
I don't know that my mother had a will.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I don't know what. I asked one time, did my mom have a will? The answer was no. I never brought anything like that up again.
Well, interesting. You got to get around to doing that will.
Well, she was sick, so I don't know if that...
Well, even more so then.
I understand that, but I just don't know if she had the mental capacity to be able to do that.
Well, I mean, you take care of things, right?
I don't know what happened. I mean, I'd really like to know, but I don't.
Well, ask some questions.
I might.
Here's what we have for you on today's show. Ann Rogers, MLB.com reporter, covers the Royals. They're coming off 3-4 at Kauffman Stadium against your Guardians.
I'm going to ask why the Royals' OPS at home is 160 points higher than it is on the road.
They like playing at home.
That much?
Jamel Hulaparic from Visit Wichita will be on with us. Her monthly appearance, 2:45. And then the Bob and Jeff draft coming up at 3:25. I forgot to put the results from
did
the Bob
forget,
and Jeff draft
or did
last.
You just know that?
No, I forgot. I just remembered it when I was over there today looking at your sheet of paper. What was the category even?
Best debut albums.
I would have won.
I don't think that was a forget type of situation.
No, it was definitely a forget.
You would have been obliterated. But that's okay.
We will not be here on the 4th. We're going to take the day off. How many more day games do the Royals have?
Not very many.
Getting too hot for day games, isn't it?
I would assume so, yeah.
I'm talking about weekday games.
Yeah, they don't have very many. The next one is on July 31st.
That far into the future?
Yes.
We're actually going to be doing 5 shows a week?
Isn't that crazy? For a few weeks, anyway. And then August 14th, August 28th, September 2, and September 26th.
Wow.
5 left.
When's the next one again?
July
31st. Crazy.
Trade deadline day.
That's a... What are you guys going to do?
I don't know.
You're down on your team suddenly.
I'm concerned about the pitching.
Pitching doesn't look great.
And they've slotted in some rookies in the lineup.
I thought it was just last year that they had all this starting pitching.
Well, they had Williams, Bibee. Williams has been hurt. He just got activated. They didn't have a whole lot of starting pitching last year because McKenzie was hurt and Bieber was hurt.
Is McKenzie a failure? Is he not going to work out?
He's gonna come back and be better. I don't know how much better he'll be, but he'll be somewhat better from being optioned to the minor leagues, which is sad because everyone loves Tristan McKenzie and everyone roots for him, and he's a wonderful human being by all indications.
Tough to make it. Cardinals holding their heads above water. Still three games over. Split a home series with Cincinnati over the weekend. I don't know what to think. Goldschmidt and Arenado they look like they're done. We've played half a season. When can we comfortably say they're at the end?
Well, you might be able to say it, but what are you going to do about it? They still are going to be in the lineup, right? You're not going to.
No, you got to put them out there. But my gosh, their guys right now are Mason Wynn, Alec Burleson, and Brendan Donovan. And hopefully Wilson Contreras gets it going.
Well, there you go. That's a nice little start to a decent offense, perhaps.
Maybe.
You've been playing better. You can't really complain.
Nolan Gorman couldn't hit anything. I got the Cardinals' best prospects rarely work out. Do most teams have that issue?
Yeah, because prospects rarely work out. You list 30. They come out with top 100s and top 30s per team, and it'd be great.
Wyatt Langford hit for the cycle. Why can't we have that?
I don't know.
Why can't we all have that? Why does Texas get Evan Carter 1 year, Wyatt Langford the next, and those guys just
hit? Because sometimes it works out.
Why do the Orioles? Why are all their guys hit?
It's unbelievable. Baltimore. I know we took 2 out of 3 in that series. That's the best team I've seen all year. That team is so good, and you've played them. You swept them. I don't even know how.
You swept them.
I don't know how you
bring them back.
I don't know how you pitch to that lineup. Everybody hits.
We'll take them.
Everybody hits, and not just singles. They mash.
I think we kept them in check.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because the Cardinals have veteran pitchers who know what they're doing. Now, it doesn't always happen for them, obviously, but they have veteran guys who have a clue, right?
I suppose.
Well, Lance Lynn's pitched great lately.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense to me either.
I know it doesn't make much sense, but he has.
Is it just because the National League is so mediocre that some guys are getting inflated statistics and looking better than they probably actually are?
I don't know. I don't appreciate you taking a swipe at him. Cardinals won 6-3, 3-1, 5-4 against the Orioles. They gave up 8 runs in 3 games. You'll take that all day.
Yeah, of course.
To the Orioles.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed by that. I mean, I understand there's some randomness involved in the game of baseball, but to go in and take 3 from Baltimore, a team that is rarely swept.
But the Cardinals haven't been good against the White Sox, the Marlins. So, I mean, you take what you get.
Guardians have the White Sox this week, and I'm nervous because they just took 3 out of 4 from us the last time.
Well, the White Sox aren't very good, but they got a lot of guys who are playing for their careers. They're going to be traded at the deadline. They want to go to contending teams, I'm sure.
Someone linked Paul DeJong with Cleveland. I'm like, no.
Why do you want Paul DeJong?
We do not.
Although he's had a decent year.
He's hit some home runs. He's still otherwise Paul DeJong.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you.
He's not had a very good year.
He's 24-62, by the way.
He's just hit a few homers.
Paul DeJong this year is at batting .236 with 15 homers and a .729 OPS. In the game today, that's nothing to sneeze at.
It's not terrible. But I'm not going to.
I'm sorry, but that's nothing
I'm
to
I'm not going to mortgage
He's
anything.
Better than your current guy.
No.
Brian Pinocchio. What's his name?
Why you got to be like that? We've been playing a lot of guys at short.
What's his name?
Brian Rocchio.
There you go. I call him Pinocchio.
He's very good defensively, and he'll be fine.
Oh, please.
He's
not that good.
Yes, he is.
He's not a good player.
He's not a good offensive player.
DeJong for this year would be an upgrade.
Well, we're not getting Paul DeJong.
Why not?
Just don't want him. Don't need him. Don't want to see him.
You don't want more pop in your lineup.
Don't want to see him hit 160 down the stretch like he usually does. Just not going to take that chance.
Well, I disagree. I like Paul DeJong.
Well, then you go get him.
He'd be a good guardian.
He would not.
What about Tommy Pham? You want him?
Not really. Poison.
Oh, my gosh. All he does is play on winning teams every year.
Except this year.
265. Not bad.
I'll pass. I'll take Eric Fetty, though.
No, you're not getting Eric Fetty.
I'll take Eric Fetty.
I doubt that you'll get somebody like Eric Fetty. We'll take a break, come back and talk to Ann Rogers, MLB.com beat writer for the Royals. I had the pleasure of doing an interview with her about our camp on Friday with 12 members of the Wichita Wind Surge and 12 members of the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Big turnout, 130 kids or thereabouts at McAdams Park. And it was an awesome, awesome morning. Ann Rogers joins us to talk Royals next.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Ann Rogers joins us, Royals beat writer, MLB.com. Hello, Ann.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Well, we're good. We're happy to have you on with us. We want to talk to Royals. They're off today, so that means you get a little reprieve. That was a big series the Royals just played at home against Cleveland, and they won 3 out of 4. How important was them to do that?
Yeah, massively important. Winning a 4-game series is really big for them, and especially against who it was against, the Guardians, first place in the division, one of the best teams in the American League. The Royals really made a statement there that they can still make a run, and it sets up a pretty big July for them, which is going to be a fun time as we have winning baseball in Kansas City this summer.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going, because what do you think would have changed if the Royals maybe had lost 3 or 4 or been swept and are kind of buried in that division a little bit? Obviously, that didn't happen, and we know that the plans are to add. Do you think that would have changed drastically had the Royals not competed in this series?
Yeah, I don't know if they would have changed drastically. I think we would be talking about this month a lot differently. They would still be contenders. I think you can't rule them out, especially with that extra playoff spot. But by winning 3 of 4, I think they made a statement that they're not out of the division race, that they are firmly in the playoff race, and that they absolutely need to add going into the trade deadline at the end of this month, which is what they said beforehand. But now you think they're backing it up with their play and kind of making a statement to the rest of the league in that way.
Ann Rogers with us. We're talking Royals. Kansas City concludes its homestand the next 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at Kauffman Stadium against Tampa Bay. Then they're on the road to Colorado, St. Louis, and Boston. And there's not a team in baseball that has a bigger discrepancy as to how they play at home and how they play on the road. What's your theory, Ann?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, no one has a real answer for it. I would say, I think being at home allows them to reset a little bit. They're with their families. They're in their normal routines. It's just different from being on the road, and it's just one of those weird quirks. And they certainly, anytime they have a tough road trip, they're happy to get back home. And they had they're in the midst of a long homestand right now, so they'll take it, those 81 games at Kauffman Stadium. The crowds have been great so far this year. I think they really do feed off of that, both in numbers and just the rowdiness. It's been loud there, which has been really fun to see.
So I was at the game on Friday. I'm a Cleveland fan, so that didn't go too well for me. But I was impressed because, Alec Marsh, he's had a pretty good year. But he pitched really well in that game, and I think maybe one of the turning points of that game was when he reached back for, I believe, 98 and struck out Jose Ramirez. How big of a piece can he be down the stretch for the Royals? Do you think he would be in the playoff rotation if the postseason began today?
Yeah, if it began today, I think I'd really like to see him, you know, out of the bullpen. You see, you talk about him reaching back for 98. You know, he's got a power arm. He's got, you know, those breaking balls that can really keep hitters off balance. He's been an awesome starter this year, just kind of learning the ups and downs of the majors. He's still a young guy, but really coming into his own. If the playoffs started right now today, they'd have all their guys healthy. I think it'd be a huge addition to that bullpen. But obviously the playoffs don't start today, and you never know what's going to happen down the stretch. But, you know, can't say enough about Alec Marsh and what he's done this year to turn himself into a really good major league starter. Just the growth that he's seen and the Royals have seen from him has been really encouraging.
Talking Royals here with Ann Rogers, MLB.com. So obviously they've got some offense with Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, all with 50-plus RBIs here at near the halfway point. How important is it for the Royals to get somebody going in their outfield, or to acquire an outfielder at the trade deadline, or to infuse just a little bit more offense into this lineup? Because it seems like if they had one more bat, who knows what this team could do?
Yeah, anytime you can, you know, lengthen the lineup in that way is really important. They'll certainly be looking for some sort of bat to add at the trade deadline to do that. Outfield is an obvious target. They'd like to get someone with versatility, though, with who can play both infield and outfield, kind of move things around, as we've seen manager Matt Quatrero like to do a lot in his time with Kansas City. So yeah, that'd be really important, because really right now when those four guys at the top aren't hitting, the offense is going to have a bad night, which is how it is around baseball, of course. But you'd really like another reliable bat. And Hunter Renfroe out in right field has done a good job recently here, kind of come into his own and, you know, be that number five, number six hitter that the Royals find him to be. So now it's just about continuing that and being consistent. And maybe he's that guy they can rely on in that fifth spot behind Salvi to offer some protection. So yeah, that's going to be really important, is to find a reliable bat out in the outfield and help them deepen their lineup to make a strong push down the stretch here.
Yeah, you know, obviously they're going to be looking for upgrades, but do you see anything from Melendez or Isbell that would suggest that they could fit in a lineup that is deepened somewhat by an acquisition, or would one of those guys perhaps be the odd man out?
You know, I do really like what Isbell brings. You know, defensively, he's phenomenal out there in center field, and the Royals really value having a good defensive center fielder. They feel like they maybe can sacrifice a bit of offense in that nine hole if they have great defense out on the grass. Now, what's happening now is they need some other guys to step up to help lessen that a little bit with Isbell. So I do really like him. I know the Royals value him as well. I know that they really love MJ Melendez's ceiling. He just hasn't gotten there yet. He's working through a lot of things right now to try to get to that power potential that he's shown in flashes before. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of go about that as the trade deadline nears, and where they see a fit for any new players, where they see a fit for their guys that they have right now, you know, whether that's in the minors or up in the major leagues. But yeah, it's definitely something that they're thinking about. And certainly an outfield bat is a target at the deadline.
Ann Rogers here, our final moments with her. She covers the Royals for MLB.com. So back in the day, we had Derek Jeter and Nomar Garcia-Para and Alex Rodriguez and some incredible young shortstops that we like to compare. In the American League right now, we've got Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles that people are enjoying the comparison between those two. Who would you take? If you had to start a team and you had to pick a shortstop, who would you take?
Oh, man, that's a really hard one. I would, honestly, I'd put Bobby at shortstop and Gunnar at third base. I mean, why can't we do that, right?
Cheat.
But
that's
no one,
cheating.
No one wants that answer. No one wants that answer.
That's a very wise move. That's probably what the best move would be. But, yeah, it is difficult. Boy, they're both amazing.
They sure are. And you know, I get the privilege of watching Bobby Witt Jr. play every single day. And what he does on the field is remarkable, just with his power, with his, you know, he hits for average, he hits for power. His defense is so good. He's so fast on the bases. He's got such good instincts both on the field and at the plate and on the bases. It's really awesome to watch. He's a true five-tool player. And the guys love him. His teammates love him. They rally around him. It's exciting to have him in Kansas City for years to come. I hope people really understand that this is a generational player that they've got now. And we're going to be talking about Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson for a long time, I think, and in comparing them. But my answer will always be just have them play on the same field. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and for years and years, it's been George Brett and everybody else in that Royals franchise, which speaks to the greatness of George Brett. But I personally feel like now there's the first true challenger to George Brett in terms as greatest Royal of all time. I think Bobby Witt will have that kind of career.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's only in his third year, but he's already done things that we're starting to compare him to George Brett. I think that just speaks to who he is as a player. And, you know, I see George around all the time, and he couldn't be happier for Bobby either. So that's been fun to see. You know, we've got a lot of years left with Bobby in Kansas City, and kind of, you know, can't really imagine what he's going to do. But certainly he's already starting to kind of put himself in that conversation for sure.
All right, Ann, we always appreciate it. Thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you. See ya.
Thanks.
Ann Rogers from MLB.com, and I don't say that lightly either. It has been George Brett, and who's second? We've always had that discussion. Who's right. The second greatest Royal?
It's hard to say. The numbers they've had retired for the longest have been Frank White, George Brett, and a non-player, Dick Houser, so... It's hard.
Well,
it's tough.
It's
Willie Wilson.
Witt.
Well, probably, but not yet.
What about guys like me who can see into the future?
Oh, please. You can see that a guy who's amazing might continue to be amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wouldn't you
How
say
prescient.
That's pretty special?
No. I knew the guards were done once they did trot out George Brett on Friday night. Unfortunately,
why'd
didn't,
you pick that game to go to?
Because we were there.
You were in Manhattan.
Yeah, it was only 2 hours.
It was only 3 hours from
here.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't get to see Bo on Saturday.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I didn't know until Friday that Bo was being inducted Saturday. We saw John Schuerholz and Cedric Tillis.
I mean, they're
family,
fine, but
the family of Cedric Tillis come
out. I mean,
out.
I don't care about seeing the family of Cedric Tillis. No offense.
Well, that's when George came out to catch the first pitch.
Well,
and,
sure. I mean,
and Ned Yost.
George was a part of those eras.
Of course he was.
But I mean, as a fan, I don't know that I care about seeing Cedric Tillis and his family, or his family.
Cedric Tillis has since
right.
passed.
I love Cedric Tillis, but that's not a draw to
Why
me.
Why are they just now getting the two architects of their franchise, of the early part of their franchise, into their Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know that. I don't have that answer.
Seems a little late.
I don't know. The Royals Hall of Fame's fine. We saw it last week. We were up there in their Hall of Fame suite, actually.
Had to be pretty nice. We
it
were
is very nice.
About 8 rows behind the Guardians dugout.
Well, good for you.
Thanks to Tony Dusing for hooking us up there.
Well, I didn't have that. I hooked myself up.
No, the Royals hooked you up.
Well, part of that, yes. We had
you
a nice buffet
didn't spend
meal.
A dime, and we all know that. Nor did I.
Exactly.
Except for food, we did buy food.
Here's Jamel Haloperic from Go Visit Wichita. What's
just Visit Wichita.
Visit Wichita. I keep wanting to put a go in there, Jamel.
I understand.
I don't know why. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
How's your summer going?
You know what? It is so fun and it's busy. You know, I mean, we've been really busy around here. We had social media day last week, so we had about 10 regional influencers in town visiting Wichita. So it's so fun because we just tootle them around and show them everything we have to offer. So it's really fun.
What is kind of the social media strategy of Visit Wichita and I guess just the city in general? I know you don't work for the city, but to highlight the city, what is the social media and how do you personally kind of try to keep up with that? Because we're old school news people. You're kind of that too, but we're always having to adapt.
Right, exactly. I know. So, like, let me give you an example of kind of what we do or what, you know, we do this with other things. But just like last week, so we had 10 influencers from the drive markets. So that's, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Colorado. But anyway, we have them come in, right? And so they got here on Wednesday. We take them to Tanganyika. We take them to Public. They went to the Belmont, the zoo, Eldersley Farm, you name it, like all those different places, Nifty Nut House, Hat Man Jack's. But we take them, they take pictures, we make sure they have a great time, we show them the art community, everything we have here. And then because we pay for their stay here and we take them to these places, they have to sign a contract that will guarantee that they'll post so many reels, so many posts, blog, different things, and then see what that does is it gets it out to their followers. And when people are looking for a fun little vacation, they say, hey, you know what? I saw this on so-and-so's social media page. Let's go to Wichita and visit. And of course, we want tourists to come because that means more money for our city, right?
Yeah, I'm just looking on the Visit Wichita website right now and all the events that are happening today that I would have never known about. So I would strongly urge people who are looking for things to do that this is a great website to visit because I didn't know all these things were happening in Wichita on today. It's amazing.
Exactly. And all week long, with this being the 4th of July, there's a lot of fun things going on.
Absolutely. So give us maybe a highlight or two of what we have to look forward to in these warm days of July. What's happening?
I know. Oh, my goodness. Okay, first off, hey, this week, if you are looking for things to do, you know, the Wichita Wind Surge, they're always so fun in the summer, and they are playing 3 games this week against the Tulsa Drillers. And I love, you know, they really work hard to promote it and have fun. And so it's not just watching baseball. I mean, it's just a great time out there, and that stadium is so nice. But they'll have fireworks on July 3rd, so you can catch that. And then to let you know, on July 4th, there's going to be concerts and fireworks at Bradley Fair. So you can go out there and shop. You can take the kiddos. They have that nice sitting area, great restaurants. But then you can also see fireworks out there on the 4th. And then, of course, the city, we have the Red, White, and Boom on July 4th. And you can go check that out at Riverfront Stadium. So there's all kind of fireworks if you don't want to light them at your house. You know, sometimes people don't want to do that because they don't want the mess or they don't want the safety concerns. And when it's really dry, you have to be careful, obviously. So if you want to go watch a big fireworks show and not put in all the work, it's free and you can go do that. So we have a lot going on.
I'm highlighting last time you came on, we talked about comedy and what the city is like from a comedic standpoint. And is that a strength? What I really think is a strength, though, is our theater situation. Yeah. Because we have Music Theater Wichita. And is it Broadway on Wichita or something like that? And so many different venues where you can have plays. That seems like it's relatively new or is it that we have so much of that going on?
You know what? We really do. And I got to tell you, Music Theater Wichita, they just kicked off Frozen. And one thing about Music Theater Wichita, and we have a lot of great theaters here, but Music Theater Wichita, they work with people. So the cast and the ensemble, they are from people all over the country. And their leads actually come from Broadway in New York. And so it is a true partnership. Remember Wayne Bryan? He was here before. And now sure. it's Brian Markham at Music Theater. But both of them have done a fabulous job. And so they have these great connections. So the leads that you actually get to see here in Wichita at Century 2 for Music Theater, they come right off of Broadway in New York. They come here, they perform. Sometimes the show lasts 3 weeks, whatever it is, and then they go back there. So you're seeing the best of the best when it comes to talent. But also then they pull in local people, too, to give them a chance to work with those Broadway actors and actresses. So that's incredible.
Jamel Haloperic, our guest from Visit Wichita, a long time at Cake Television here in Wichita. Did you ever perform in Gridiron during your years at Cake?
You know what? Can I tell you something? A lot of my coworkers did. Mike Ewan, he was always great at that. But I got to tell you, because I did the morning show and I had to be up so early, like 2:33 in the morning every day, and I had 3 kids, with my schedule, I just couldn't do it because I would be so tired because sometimes those rehearsals go till 10, you know, 10:30, 11 at night. But I love going and watching. They do a great job. Have you guys done it before?
Well, of course, Jeff wouldn't have done that, but
nor have you. So I don't understand the problem.
I actually was in it 1 year as a special guest, but that's it. I have stage fright.
I do not have stage fright. I need to do that some year. I do not have stage fright in any way, shape, or form. I should do that some year. I've talked about it, but you know, until I do something, it's just that. It's just talk.
Right. You need to do it. You guys would be good. So, yeah, so that's fun. You know, I did have to tell you, this is kind of weird. I did get a minor in college in theater. Isn't that funny? It kind of just went with my degree in broadcasting. Yeah, and then communications, and then I just got a minor in theater. And that was a blast because I love that stuff. You can be creative and, you know, it's fun. But that was
it. So we know you're enthusiastic and good at your current job. What do you miss about television news?
You know, I think being in on everything and knowing things first, and you never, now I have to go and read it and make sure I keep up to date on it. When you're reading it 5 times a day for different newscasts, you know, you don't really have to keep up on it because you just are. But I think I miss that. You know, there's times I miss breaking news because there's that adrenaline rush and you're out there and you're trying to get all the facts and information and it's, you know, the deadline. You don't have time to mess around. You got to get it done. So I'd say I miss that. What I don't miss, though, I don't miss covering the crime and having all that all the time. And I don't miss having to cut my hair short and wear tons of makeup.
Me neither.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, we're not into the makeup either, so. Jamel, thank you. It's always good to catch up with you.
Hey, you guys are awesome. You guys have a great week.
Thank you, too. Take care. Jamel Haloperic, Visit Wichita. And are we awesome?
Well, yeah, I am. I don't know.
I mean, that's such a subjective thing.
Well, she enjoys us. She enjoys talking to us.
Well, but she would enjoy talking to anyone, right? I mean, she's just that kind of person.
Not necessarily.
Well, I don't know. I feel like she would. She's a
nice, interesting, friendly, funny person.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that she connects with everyone, necessarily.
You feel like she's connected with us?
Oh, well, yeah. At least me.
Why do you say that? Why
I had her on my
attacking
old
me
podcast.
Now?
I, you know, we talked to set up the interviews, and we, you know, just feel like I know Jamel a little better.
So what is it about me that you think maybe she's not as...
I just don't think she knows you that well. No biggie.
Well, what are you trying to say?
No, I said it.
So it feels like there's a deeper...
not really.
...message you're trying to say.
I don't have any ulterior motives or anything like that.
All right. Boy, 1 hour almost down. One more to go. We'll have a Bob and Jeff draft. Jeff can come up with the category today. Any ideas about what it might be?
Not really.
I got one.
What?
Doobie Brothers songs.
Really?
They're out on tour. And, of course, they did some openings for the Eagles, but they got Michael McDonald on this tour, and it's getting quite the reviews. Good
stuff.
Yeah,
they've been really good. I saw that twice.
So we'll do Doobie Brothers songs, Bob and Jeff draft, coming up at about 3:25 today. Max Power, Our producer and engineer takes us to break.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.